A young mother came downstairs to find her husband standing in the nursery over their new child's crib. A look of bewilderment, of amazement, of wonder, of awe, of love, a mix of complex emotions strewn across his face. She sidled up next to him, placed her arm around his waist and said, "A penny for your thoughts." "It's so amazing," he said, staring down at the child in the crib. "So amazing, so wonderful. I just can't believe it. I just can't believe that they can make this crib for $49.95. Sometimes it's hard to focus. Sometimes it's easy to miss the forest for the trees. Sometimes, though, it's easier still to miss the trees for the forest. There are lots of people in Scripture that we're told that we're supposed to try to identify with. People that we're told we're supposed to try to emulate. People we're told we're supposed to want to be like. No one has ever said that about Jeremiah. Here is a man who was called to minister to the people of God, to the people of the southern kingdom, over the worst 40-year period in their history. They would be defeated, they would be starved, their city would be crushed to rubble, and they would be carted off to live as strangers in a foreign land. And through it all, Jeremiah was called to be the prophet who ministered first and foremost to the people of God wherever they ended up. It's seldom a wonder that Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. But his refrain throughout the book, his refrain throughout his prophecy, stands the test of time. In fact, it's the one refrain of the prophets that is echoed in the Old Testament, that is echoed also in the New Testament. "Woe to you that have eyes but do not see. Woe to you who have ears but do not hear." Jesus quotes Jeremiah's words. Both in the Gospels and in the book of Revelation, Jesus quotes from the book of Jeremiah, from the prophecy of Jeremiah. The promise, the idea, the challenge of seeing but not really seeing is a challenge that a lot of us are familiar with. How many of you have tried to tell your kids or your grandkids, "I wanted you to clean up the kitchen by the time I get back," to be met with a "uh-huh" as they sit watching something on their phone or playing video games? When I was on the fire department in Saskatchewan, we responded to a lot of motor vehicle accidents. And the one thing that we heard over and over again as people were giving a report to the RCMP was, "He just came out of nowhere." Or the other side of the story was, "She looked right at me and then still pulled out into traffic." We look, but we don't always see. We watch, but we often miss. We hear, but we so seldom listen. These are the criticisms that the prophet Jeremiah levels against the people in exile. We're not sure where the different parts of Jeremiah's prophecy were written. We know that it was written in at least three significant chunks, but we don't know when the specific parts stop and start. We have a general idea. And this 23rd chapter is both the most hopeful chapter and the most frustrating chapter in the entire book. Because it starts with the promise of a branch springing forth from David. It starts with the promise of a new restored kingdom, even in the midst of all of the craziness that's happening in the world around them. It starts with this great reminder that God is in exile with his people, and then proceeds to tell them all the things that they're doing wrong, all the ways that they're watching and missing the work of God. Jeremiah tells them, that the prophets that they hear, the voices that are all around them, this cacophony of noises, have to be drowned out. God is not working through the prophets in the way that the people seem to want him to be working through the prophets. There are voices and there are ideas floating around, a grand cacophony of sound and ideas, a forest, if you will. But through it all, God is asking Jeremiah to ask the people to stop focusing on the forest, stop focusing on the noise, stop focusing on the big picture and narrow your gaze. Pay attention, focus on the trees. What does this have to do with us? If you ask most people, prophets seem to be in short supply in the 21st century. But Jeremiah's words feel prescient to me. They feel timely in a way that seldom does in the New Testament. The words of Jeremiah, the words of the prophets, these ideas of calling the people of God back to something in the middle of a time of exile, in the middle of a time of abandonment, in the middle of a time of fear and grand existential uncertainty, should feel timely and appropriate for the church in the 21st century. We live in an age of that more than one commenter has called the Laodicean exile of the church. In an age of extravagance, in an age of excess, in an age of abundance, in an age of comfort, we live in a world where there are a million reasons not to go to church. We live in a culture that says there are 100 things you could be doing this morning rather than sitting in hard pews listening to some guy at the front drone on for somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes. There are better things you could do than sit and sing and put an envelope in a plate when they pass it around. There are more expedient, more efficient, and more effective uses of your time, your talent, and your treasure than sitting here in church on Sunday morning, or so the world tells us. But Jeremiah's message to the church today is that this isn't new. There's always been better ways to spend your time. There's always been better ways to spend your money. There's always been a better way to live. There's always been a better way to do things in life. Those seem to be some of the voices that the prophets were speaking around the people that Jeremiah was speaking specifically against. I've turned against the prophets who simply steal their words from each other, says Jeremiah. I have turned against the prophets who put their words into the mouth of God, says Jeremiah. I have turned against the prophets who don't do anything for the people, says Jeremiah. These are calls by Jeremiah to focus our attention on the trees in the middle of the forest. These are calls from Jeremiah to focus our attention on the small things of God, instead of trying to find all of the many ways in our world that the excess allows us. And so this morning, I think Jeremiah's message is a message for the church. Because I think that the church is called to do the work of prophecy in the 21st century. And I don't mean that the church is called to figure out how the future is going to unfold, because that's just one part of prophecy. The main and the primary function of prophecy was to call the people of God back to something true, to something real, and to something good. This is the work of the prophet, and this, I believe, is the work that Jeremiah is calling the church in the 21st century to. This is to focus on that which is true. Stop following the easy way. Life is complicated. Life is messy. Life seldom works out exactly the way it does. Show of hands. Who has had everything in life work out exactly the way you thought it was going to? Look at all the hands. anyone who says, anyone who tells you, anyone who tries to make you believe that if you have a plan, if you have a course of action, if you just work for something hard enough, then somehow it's going to figure itself out. Somehow the world is going to make sense. That person is selling you a bill of goods. Life is complicated. Life is messy. Life is difficult to figure out, and life seldom works the way we expect it to. The world is interested in telling us that there's an easy way. Take the easy path. Take the path of least resistance. If spiritual community is what's important, you can get that spiritual community on a golf course, can't you? If accountability is what's important, have a few close friendships. That should be enough. If spirituality is what's important, you can decide that for yourself. These are all the easy paths. These are all the paths of least resistance. These are the paths that don't require you to get up and be in a non-air-conditioned room at 9:30 on a Sunday morning. But Jeremiah says, forget the easy path. Forget, the fans aren't even going. Forget the path that says, take the easy road out. Forget the path that says, What's been in the past can simply be in the future. Forget the path that says, forget the prophets who say the same thing again and again and again and never challenge us to grow and to become more than we are. The easy path is the path of status quo. It's the path that calls us and challenges us to simply be the people that we are right now in this moment and never change a thing about ourselves. The prophecy of Jeremiah challenges us and calls us that if we are focused truly on hearing what God is saying to his church today, we can never stay the same. We can never take the easy path. If we're focusing on what's true instead, we find ourselves always being challenged, always in the mess, always working and always being changed by the work. Secondly, it challenges us to abandon a selfish course of action and focus instead on what's real. God says, I have turned against the prophets who use their tongues to say, thus says the Lord. Prophets in the Old Testament tradition are better understood as spokespeople. The message that they proclaim is not their message, first and foremost. It's a message that they have received and which they are obligated by their profession to disseminate as it is. They are mercenaries. They are advocates. They are not soothsayers. They are not making this up as they go. They are spokespeople speaking literally the words of God. And so for a prophet to stand and say, what I say, for a prophet to stand up and say, these are my words that I'm lending divine authority to, boils down to simply being a selfish action. An action that seeks to steal the glory from where the glory is due and place it on himself. To know that at the end of the day, it's all about me. It's all about what I want. This is the attitude, this is the action, this is this lifestyle that God is calling the church to reject, to turn away from, and to focus instead on the things that are real. And the things that are real are the people beyond you. How often do we focus on the people sitting in front of us or behind us? Or beside us when we're here in church? How often in our communities do we focus our attention on those who live near us, who share our building, who share our facilities, who live just across the fence? We spend so much time in our world and in our lives building fences that are high and saying, this is my chunk of land, this is my part of reality, when the God who is calling us into a greater community, into a greater reality, into a greater relationship, is challenging us to break down those same walls. To abandon a course of action that says, what I want is what matters, and I will give, and I will work, and I will strive to take care of me and mine. Ultimately, push that to its furthest extent, take that to its logical conclusion, and we find an attitude that says, I want to be on the throne of my life. I want to be on the throne. I want to be the one who answers to myself. I want to be the one who everyone else answers to. I want to be the one who defines and decides what is and what is not important. I want to be the be-all and the end-all. I want to be God. Instead, Jeremiah says, shift your focus from yourself to the people around you and watch. Just watch as you come to realize how big this planet is, how crazy, strange, how wonderful it is when we live in a community that is focused not on ourselves but on other people. When you truly discover that it is better to give than to receive. When you truly discover that it is better to serve than to be served. When you truly discover that it is better to love than to be loved. When we realize and when we recognize as a church that we are being asked to serve rather than to be served, the focus shifts away from ourselves, away from shining this light on ourselves and towards shining this light on the God who gives us these opportunities. And finally, abandon the things that are unprofitable, says Jeremiah. Get rid of the things that aren't working. Stop trying to make an old dog do new tricks. Stop focusing on things that just have been proven again and again not to work. I had a professor who used to say to me, life is seldom a choice between good and evil, and more often a choice between better and best. The question that this seems to beg to me is, what does it mean as a church, as a faith family community, as a group of people committed not just to each other, but to this entire organization that we call a church? What does that mean when we have disagreements with each other? What does that mean when we enter into a complicated and a tenuous relationship with the people sitting beside us? How do we move forward together? To return to our theme for this year. How do we focus on the good? These are not easy questions to answer. And not even questions that I'm going to pretend to have an answer for you today. But the challenge of Jeremiah stands for the church. In the middle of all of the voices speaking and demanding our attention, calling for us to be something in this world that is easy and that is selfish and that is simply for ourselves, Jeremiah stands in the middle of the forest and says, look at what God is really calling you to do. Hear what God is really asking of you. Do what God is really calling you to do, and go where God is really asking you to go. Focus on the baby and not the crib. Focus on the trees and not the forest. Amen.